a very common practice nowadays is that when you have a shul that has more than one person who we call a chiyuv, has more than one avel who needs to daven for the amid, or has more than one person with the yahrzeit who needs to daven for the amid, so they'll often break up into more than one minyan and daven in such a way. So this is, you know, I'd say in most shuls that I've been to, very, very common practice, and some would even view it as the preferable practice to have a little bit of a breakaway minyan, not just for the sake of having a breakaway, but for the sake of making sure that a person gets the daven for the amid and say those extra kaddishes and barchus, etc., and be mezaka the tzibur and kedusha, all as an ilin shema for the person for whom he has yahrzeit or is davening on and learning, etc., on their behalf. Question is this worth it? Is it right to break up the existing minyan in order to form the breakaway, or is it better to have the minyan stay together and only one of the two will be zocha to daven for the amid? But especially nowadays that the minig of Bnei Ashkenaz has come to be the same as the minig of the Bnei Svarad, which is that we have everyone who's in Avelus in the shul is able to say Kaddish for the Avelus. It's not like the older minig Ashkenaz, which was observed up until fairly recently, where only the person davening for the Amud would say Kaddish and everyone else would just answer that individual. So if you had 15 Avelim in the shul, let's say one of them was within Shloshim and everyone else was only within the Yud Beis Chodesh, so the only the Avel who was in Shloshim would daven for the Amud and he would have Kedimus over everybody else. So under these circumstances, it might be more of a more desirous to break off and start your own minyan, so you could also daven for the amid once in a while. However, nowadays, at the very least, yes, you don't get to daven for the amid, but at the very least, you get to say Kaddish no matter how many avilim there are at the minyan. So maybe there's less of a reason to have the breakaway minyan at this point. So I want to start with a tshuva from Rav Moshe, and I want to move backwards in time a little bit to a second tshuva on this subject, and perhaps to clarify the matter according to the poskim, and try to suggest perhaps who may be more fitting to follow halacha lemaisa, although this is something that certainly every shul should follow the psak of their own rav, and every individual should ask a shaila from the person to whom he asks all his other shailas what to do in this situation. But Rav Moshe has a very short comment on this subject, and it's in a longer tshuva that he wrote, which has a number of piskei halacha regarding hilchos tefillah and davening for the amid. It's in Yoredeya Chelek Dalid Simen Samach Aleph. So in Yoredeya Chelek Dalid Simen Samach Aleph, this tshuva was written in Tavshin Mem Aleph, and he has a bunch of different shailas about people davening for the amid, etc., and Kohanim getting an aliyah during certain times. So in Os Dalet of this tshuva, he writes a short paragraph on this subject. Im lechalik es hamispalim l'shnei minyanim she'echad mei hamispalim michutz l'beis haknesses l'tzorach shnei avelim. You have two avelim, and you want to divide up the minyanim into two. You have a large minyan of at least 20 people, and you want to divide up into two, and you'll have a minyan for each one of the avelim to lead. So Rav Moshe says that if you have a case where one of the minyanim is going to daven in the shul, and the other one is going to daven in a different room, he says, Lashon is la'anias daiti ein la'asos zeh. You should not do this. And he says, lo miboy im cheder hasheni ein sham sefer Torah. Certainly you should not do this if the second room they're going to use doesn't have a sefer Torah in the room, shehu gerua. That is actually worse. And his raya is a very interesting raya. He says, shari chazinon she'ein nefilas apayim kishalek a sefer Torah. We know there's no tachanun, meaning there is tachanun, but you don't fall on your face for tachanun when there is no sefer Torah. And he quotes the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, "Delachein nistabish afa tefila atzma adifa kisheika sefer Torah." So he says, based on this, it's logical to suggest that even the quality of the davening is better when there's a sefer Torah. Meaning, he doesn't just to fill in a little of the blanks. I think his kavana is that the whole idea of us falling on our faces when there is a sefer Torah and we don't when there isn't is based on the psukim by Yehoshua that it says, "Vayipol Yehoshua al panav lifnei Aron Hashem," that Yehoshua fell on his face in front of the Aron Kodesh, because the Aron Kodesh brings the place into have a certain amount of Kedusha, where your tefillos will be heard or listened to or accepted better on some level than if there is no Aron Kodesh there with a Sefer Torah in it. So Rav Moshe is just medayik from the fact that we actually change the way we say Tachanun when there's no Sefer Torah, because there is less of a Kedusha Samakom when there's no Sefer Torah. And obviously that would indicate that our tefillos are less accepted in a place where there's no Sefer Torah. And therefore it's incumbent upon us to try to daven in a shul where there is a Sefer Torah. So if one of the rooms you're going to go to doesn't have one, so you shouldn't leave. You should stay in the room with the Sefer Torah and not break up the minyan. But, says Rav Moshe, if the second room is not actually a shul, meaning sometimes you have a shul that has one sanctuary and one Kiddush room. So sometimes when there's an overflow, you can daven in the Kiddush room, but it's not a place with Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So he says, Arei vadeh adifa lispal b'makom she'ika Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Obviously, it's better to daven in a shul that has real Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, which is the whole idea. Quotes the Gemara in Brachos, that it's best to daven in a shul. Many shuls, thank God, have a number of rooms with a number of sanctuaries that you can daven in, and they have an Aron Kodesh, and it's considered a Beis HaKnesses. He says, Hare vade odif lispala b'rov am. It's still better to daven with the larger crowd, to be mekayim the idea of b'rov am hadras melech. V'avimim avelim she'inan achim, even if these two avelim are not brothers, meaning they're not both avelim for the same person, nami ein lasos kein, you still shouldn't do it, shouldn't break up the minyan, meaning if they're brothers, there's less of a reason to break up the minyan, because at least the person for whom they're davening is not going to, is going to have someone davening for the aman on his behalf. But even if they're not related in any way, you still shouldn't break up the minyan, because it's better to have Rav Am Hadras Melech and everybody davening in a sanctuary, if that's relevant, and not to break up the minyan. But let's say you have a shul where they just one sanctuary can't hold the minyan, and there are two minyanim going on. So tov shekol avel af kashen achin yachol lavor lefnei ateva. So in that case, it's better if each one of the avelim can be the shlich tzibur in either minyan, even if they are brothers. So they should each daven in different minyanim, because that way each one will have the zechus of leading the tzibur as an ilui neshama for the person whom they're trying to help. That is Rav Moshe Shita, and he makes it very clear that the practice that people have of breaking up the minyan is not a good one, because Rov Amadras Melech trumps the idea of each Avil davening for himself, and therefore you should leave the minyan the way it is. And certainly in a case where one of the minyanim is going to be in the hallway or in a room that doesn't have Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, then you're losing out not only on Barav Amadras Melech, you're also losing out on davening with Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, and that is not the acceptable practice. Okay, that is Rav Moshe Shita. Now, I found a tshuva called Shals and Tshuvas Afarkasta Da'anyo. So that's a very fancy name, and it was written by a Rav David Sperber. Rav David Sperber, I learned on Hebrew Wikipedia, was a Rav in pre-World War II Europe, I believe in Romania. He got his first job of an Av Bezdin in 1922, and he eventually escaped from Europe, and in 1950 he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he lived in Yerushalayim, and he was... He was nifter at the age of 85, and he is buried in the Rabbanim section in Har HaMenuchos in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. So this Rav David Sperber, who was a very legitimate posek in Europe, and he was a fairly prolific author. He published a number of different types of Sfarim, but he has four volumes of Shals and Tshuvas, and in Simen Lamed of Shals and Tshuvas Afarkasta Da'anya, he has a pretty long tshuva about this subject. So this was obviously something that was going on in Europe as well as in America nowadays. This was going on in Europe pre-World War II. And he was answering the Shaila, is this an acceptable practice? And he paskins that this is an acceptable practice. You should, in fact, divide up into multiple minyanim, and you don't have to worry about the concept of Barava Mahadras Melech. Now, he starts off, and he has basically one mahalach throughout it's a 6 or 7 page tshuva. 6 pages, I think. It basically has one mahalach throughout this tshuva, where he points out that, yes, Barava Mahadras Melech is a maila to the tefillah. However, it is just one variable that can be discussed amongst a whole host of variables when it comes to the halachos of tefillah. And he points out that not all the mailas are equal. And he quotes from Ishalson Tshuva's Tzvi Teferis. I've never seen the Sefer, but he basically says that if you have a choice between a smaller minyan that the people are all Yirei Shemayim and they're going to daven better and you're going to feel better about the whole minyan versus a large minyan where they're not going to daven so nicely, so he says it's a davar pashut that you should daven in the smaller minyan and not in the larger minyan. And he brings a number of rayas to this effect, that Barava Mahadras Melech is not that big of a deal. And then he says that that really the concept of the Tzvi Teferis is that any time there is a positive reason to that reason will beat Barava Mahadras Melech, therefore it's not one of the top cheshbonos that a person is supposed to make when it comes to where he's going to daven. He quotes the Chita of the Magen Avram by Hilchos Megillah, that if you have a choice to go hear the Megillah in a larger shul, you should always go to the larger shul to hear the Megillah. But he points out that many poskim disagree with that Magen Avram, and many poskim say that it depends. If it's going to be all things are considered equal, yes, so you should go to the larger shul to also be Mekayim the din of Barava Mahadras Melech. However, if you're going to have a shul where everybody's going to have a private Megillah to follow along properly, and it's going to be better, so then he suggests that Rova Poskim disagree with the Magen Avram on this case, and they say that that it's better to daven in a smaller minyan and not get Barava Mahadras Melech under those circumstances. So he says, what about in this case of the Avel, is that considered a good enough reason? And he says, yeah, it is a very important thing for an Avel to daven for the Amid. And that way he'll be zocheh to say Kaddish. He says, and I'll read you his Lashon over here, Vaday mitzvah ka'avid letovas nishmas avosav. He's certainly doing a mitzvah for the good of his father's neshama. He quotes the Ramah and Yeridei Nilchus Avelis and quoting the Kolbo, that he's podeh from Gehenim through this Kaddish. And he quotes a very interesting raya from the Gemara in Brachos, and he's actually quoting from a commentary of the Yeshuas Yaakov on the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tzadik Sivkat and Vav on the Shulchan Aruch. But the case from the Gemara is interesting where what happens? Rav Nachman wasn't able to make it to shul one day. Some Marzutra comes to Rav Nachman. I'm sorry, not Marzutra. Take it back. Who came to Rav Nachman and asked him why he wasn't in shul? So one second. Sorry, he doesn't quote who said it to Rav Nachman, but they asked him, how come Rav Nachman didn't come to shul that day? He said, I wasn't feeling up to it. He says, so why didn't you go get a minyan of people to come daven with you in your home? And he said, trichali milsa, it would have been difficult for me. So this isn't exactly the Yeshuas Yaakov's take on it. He says, they wouldn't have been mevatel their tefila barovam had to do it. They would have come to him and just said Kaddish Kedusha and Baruch Hu and then gone back to shul. That's not the Pashup Shah in the Gemara. The Pashup Shah in the Gemara is it would have gotten you a minyan to daven, and you would have been able to daven b'tzibur. So it seems that when it comes to so on one hand, the Pashup Shot in the Gemara seems to indicate if you'd be doing a favor for one person, it's kedai for the whole tzibur to lose out on Barava Mahadras Melech in order to make a minyan for Rav Nachman, in order to make a minyan for one person, so that he would be able to be mekayim his mitzvah on a higher level. Okay, and even if you learn like the Yeshuas Yaakov that they'd be losing out on something and they're just getting together for Rav Nachman to say Kaddish Kedusha and Baruch Hu, still you see that it's worth it for them to come and to be mezakeh one individual in this particular mitzvah. Similarly quotes that it quotes the case of being freeing an Eved, so that you can daven b'tzibur. He says that there are certain mitzvahs, even though there's a mitzvah, but lo'olam behem tavodu. So there are certain mitzvahs that are not the most important mitzvahs in the world, and when weighed against other mitzvahs, like being able to daven with a minyan, the Gemara says that you can free an Eved in order to be mashlim a minyan, and so too here. So I'll just read you his, this is not his final statement, but what seems to me from this long tshuva to be his conclusion, where he says, Nimtzana lemeidim, Benido Nidan, de ein lefakve klal al haminig. He says, it seems to me, in our case, meaning when you have two people with yahrzeit, that you want to you want them both to be able to daven for the amid, that there is no room to second guess the minog to divide up the minyanim. Kevan diyesh taima rabba, since there is a strong reason, yachlu lischalik lebeis kitos lekadashim shamayim berabim. They can break up into two groups in order to be mekadesh Hashem's name in public. The afal gav, the kasav magen Avram, etc. In the name of the Ran and the Bach also says the afal gav sheyesh lomar kuf anashim mitzvah lekrosa betzibur mishum beravam. Right, so he says, even though we quote the Magen Avraham we mentioned earlier that it's a mitzvah to read the Megillah with the biggest possible minyan, mikol makom harei b'yarno le'el b'siyat d'shmai d'hainu dafka be'ein shum tam maspik neged b'ravam. That's only when all other things are created equal and there is no actual reason going against the b'ravam hadras milch. L'kol shekin hu mitainas Tircha de Mahani, right? He says, certainly if you hold like what we said before, that just being a matriach, to get a minion together, to get the people together, that's already enough of a reason to avoid Barabbam. That is, so certainly in this case, it would be sufficient to break up the Baravam Hadras Melech in order to get the minyan together. This is the psak of the Avar Kasta Da'anya of Rav Sperber against the psak of Rav Moshe, who says that you should not break up the minyan because Baravam is more important than an individual avel davening for the Amid. Okay, so this is the machlokes between these two great poskim. And it seems very much so that the Minhag Olam is not like Rav Moshe. But I just wanted to point out that it seems to me that it's not just a one-on-one machlokes, because if you look in Shulchan Aruch, specifically in Siman Kuf Lamed Beis, so the Mishnah Brura in Siman Kuf Lamed Beis has a very lengthy discussion as to the din of Kedimus, who gets to daven for the Amid first. If you look in the Bir Alocha in Siman Kuf Lamed Beis, he has what he calls Kuntris Mamar Kadishin Bo Yevur Dine Kadish Bekitzer Meluka Milavush Magen Avram Knesi Cheskel Avederech Chaim Magen Giborim Misharachron. So he writes that this is all the Alochos of Kadish and about who when you're supposed to say, and it's coming from all of the major. It comes from all the major achronim, or the poskim on Shulchan Aruch. So the Bir Alocha discusses who is chayav to say Kaddish and who is not chayav to say Kaddish, etc. And then he goes through who comes first. And if you have all these different people, and he goes through who's considered a person who has precedence because he lives in town versus someone who's coming from out of town, it's a lengthy discussion over here, and sometimes has to be settled with a goral. And there are laws and rules, and it's not something that he just considers, just whoever wants to daven for the Amid has the right to daven for the Amid. Rather, you divide it up under different circumstances. One guy will get this Kaddish, one guy will get a different Kaddish. And it's all very, very organized based on actual halachos. And if you look in the Achroni Achronim, in the Piskei Tshuvos, he has, who gets Kedimus. He has a kuntris that's based on that Bir Alocha, as well as based on other sources in addition to the Bir Alocha. But the bottom line is that there are halachos that govern this particular sugya. So why wouldn't these poskim have just said, no problem, These are the basic laws, but when you get a chance, if you have enough room in town, or if you have a big enough minyan, you should just divide up. As long as every single minyan has 20 people in it, which, granted, not every single minyan has 20 people, but if you have 20 people in your minyan, so you should just divide up into two minyanim, and then there's nothing to worry about, and each one can have his own minyan, and you don't have to sacrifice with any of these halachos of kedimus. Now, I'm not saying that the biralacha and the poskim who preceded him should not have written the dinim of kedimus, because there are plenty of places in the world that can't divide up the minyan, or won't divide up the minyan, or only have one sanctuary, and other people won't want to daven outside of their makam kavua. But nevertheless, it should have been mentioned in the end, no problem, just divide it up if you can, and if you can't, here are the halachos. However, that is not the spirit of these writings that we get from these poskim. The spirit of the poskim is, these are the halachos. If you have kedimus, you should daven for the amen, and if you don't, you don't. And this is even including the fact that we're not talking about a case where everybody will say Kaddish. If you don't daven for the amen under these circumstances, you won't say Kaddish. There's a very famous tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, when he has a few tshuvas about this idea, but the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, when a guy has a suffix, when his yortzeit is, and he wants to daven for the amud on both of the possible days that the yortzeit would fall out on. And the Chasam Sofer says it really depends. If you have a brother out there who knows bevadai when the yortzeit is, then you don't have the right to take both days away from somebody else. You can only choose one day, which one you think is correct. But if there's no one else out there who's going to daven, so then you can take both days. Why didn't the Chasam Sofer at least suggest, if you're dealing with a large enough minyan, then you should divide the minyan in half, and then you can have both of them daven for the amid. No, you can have the avel who's not sure when the yortzeit is, and you can have the regular guy who wants to daven for the amid daven. So these are not solutions that are suggested in the earlier poskim, and it's not that difficult to come up with such a solution. So I would suggest that although Rav Sperber certainly is a great posik upon whom to rely, and I'm sure there are many other poskim who agree with him, just happens to be that was the tshuva that I found, But nevertheless, it seems that the history of halachic literature much more supports the opinion of Rav Moshe that one should try not to divide up the minyan under these circumstances, and the concept of Barovam Hadras Melech does win the day. Nevertheless, the accepted view seems very much to be that we do divide up the minyan, and I just want to suggest, again, totally from my own Boich Svara, not based on anything real, I think maybe the same reason that B'nai Ashkenaz have adopted the Sephardi practice of everyone saying Kaddish is also the reason why we have the practice to divide up the minyan into two or more groups, so that every Ovel can daven for the Amid. And that is very simple, that when we came to the United States of America, people stopped coming to shul, perhaps with the same regularity as they would have in previous generations. I don't know this. I was only alive during this generation. But nevertheless, it's not there. There are many people who are Shomrei Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taras Mishpacha who have trouble making it to shul, which is certainly one of the main parts of Avodas Hashem on a daily basis. And in order to help facilitate more people coming to shul, people take their avelus very, very seriously. And thus, we Ashkenazim realize it would be beneficial to the klal that people, even though they're not necessarily davening for the amud, would say Kaddish at every single opportunity during the minyan. We also adopted other Kaddishes that didn't used to be said according to the standard Nusach Ashkenaz. Nusach Ashkenaz really only had one Kaddish per tefillah. Nevertheless, we have thrown in many Kaddish Derabanan here, and a Kaddish Yasom there, even though the Rov HaPoskim say that you should try not to be Marbe B'Kaddishim. You should try to treat Kaddishes in the same way that we treat Brachos, i.e. we shouldn't say one when it's unnecessary, but we are pretty liberal with how we say Kaddish. And I'm not suggesting for a second that saying Kaddish is not a tremendous zechus. It is a kiyum of V'nikdashti B'toch B'nei Yisrael, that Aminya Hishmei Rabbah has unknowable zechuyos for the Jewish people, certainly, and as Chazal tell us time and time again. But nevertheless, it's not necessarily the preferred thing to say lots of unnecessary kaddishes, and yet we seem to do it all the time. And I think the reason is because this is a major attraction to get people into shul. Not only to get them there, but to get them there on time, so that they'll be able to say the kaddish le'ili nishmas, their loved ones. And perhaps that's the reason as well why we encourage an avil to allow the avil to break up the minyan, even though the history of halacha would seem to indicate otherwise, because this keeps people coming back. It keeps people enthused about coming to shul and about davening for the amid, and it has a very positive effect on the overall Jewish people. So perhaps even though halachically it might be more preferable to follow Rav Moshe on this one, in terms of culturally, it might be a lot better to allow the breakaway minyanim to continue to go on, so that more people are motivated to come to more minyanim and to participate in daven for the amid. So I think each person has to, obviously you should ask your own Mora Hora what to do for yourself, but in addition, I think even if you feel inclined to go after Rav Moshe's Pesach, you have to be intellectually honest with yourself and say, will I still come to Minyan with the same alacrity that I do if I know I have to say Kaddish, I have to daven for the Amid, and I'm going to be the star of the show? If the answer is yes, then okay, that's much more of a impetus to follow the Pesach of Rav Moshe. But if the answer is no, we have to be honest with ourselves, and maybe we need that extra motivation to get us to come to the shul for as many minyanim as possible.